Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah got up one morning and he thought that he was going to be the priest that would be lighting the incense in the temple. And he was really excited because that maybe is a once-in-a-lifetime for a priest. And his wife Elizabeth and the friends came along and they were standing outside the temple. They're all excited because he's the big cheese that day. And he went into the temple, and while he was in there, he had an encounter with Gideon, the angel of God. And the angel just showed up. The angel showed up at the altar. And it wasn't at all what Zechariah expected that day. That's not what he thought he'd be doing that day. And suddenly there's this angelic presence saying to him, you know what, you and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby. And, you know, we can't blame the guy. He said, yeah, excuse me, Gideon, she's really old. Something along the lines of that ship has sailed, pal. And the Gideon said, oh, my. You shouldn't have said that, so I'm just going to close your mouth until the baby's born just to show you who's boss here. So you're not going to speak another word until that child is born. You know, the angel was right. But Zechariah came out, and he couldn't speak. Now, that's not what Elizabeth expected would be coming out of the temple, is this husband who could no longer speak. God is a God of surprises. And we know about Mary. She got up with Mary. You know, she fell in love with Joseph. She fell in love with him. And, you know, I think he was kind of a catch. He was from the line of the King of David. And I think she probably thought she was doing pretty good to catch him. That's all she thought, right? Boy, look, I'm engaged to this guy, and he's like a real prize. And then one day, angel of the Lord overshadows her and just has an announcement over her unlike anything anybody has ever heard. That's not what she expected that day. Our God is a God of surprises, of the unexpected, of interruptions, of intersections. Just when you think you know, I want to say you don't know. You get up on an ordinary day. You don't know what is ahead of you. Sometimes it's amazing and celebratory, and sometimes it's devastating. But we don't know. But God knows. And so if you look at Luke 2, at that time, and when the scripture says that at that time, it's referring to it the time when John the Baptist was born, and when he was, it was acknowledged, the prophetic had been spoken over him. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. You could say this along with me. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea. We all know the story, and PB did such a great job on Christmas Eve of telling us this magnificent story. David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who is now obviously pregnant. And we think all the time, I think of Mary and her encounter with the angel, and I think of Mary and her encounter with Joseph when her tummy started to show. And he had to look at his wife, and he knew that child wasn't his. He knew that wasn't his baby. And here's this woman whom he thought was so godly, and yet here she is. And what is he to do with this? What is he to do with this? And she tells him this story. Well, you're never going to believe what happened to me. I was out walking in the field. I mean, come on, church. And this angel showed up and said, "Well, I'm going to be carrying the Christ child, the Messiah." Nobody's going to believe that. Nobody. But Joseph has a dream. Come on, God. God shows up in the dream. And he confirms everything that's said. Everything that's said. And he believes and he stays with her. He stays with her. And then, what was he thinking? He put her on a donkey? Now, I was very pregnant when Gilly and I went down to Disneyland with friends. And something about my husband, when he sniffs home, he got to get home. We were in Salt Lake City. I don't know, you might Google it or chat GPT. I don't know how many miles, kilometers, from Calgary, Salt Lake City is. But I was very pregnant. And he was not stopping. Because when my husband puts on, what do you call that thing? Cruise control. When he puts on cruise control, it doesn't come off until we're there. And so when we would vacation in BC. And when we would leave the Calgary city limits, and I'm telling you the truth, he would put on cruise control at the city limits in Calgary. And we would drive through the Rogers Pass. Are you hearing me? The Rogers Pass. And we would not take off cruise control the whole time. I don't know why. I can tell you, we've been married for 54 years. I did meet him when I was 16. I really did. We never fought about money. Not once. No. We didn't fight over anything, but we fought about driving. We fought about cruise control. The only fight we had every year was on our vacation through the Rogers Pass. And that one time coming back from Salt Lake City when I was 9 months pregnant and the man would not stop. By the time we hit Calgary, I was just about ready to divorce him. And then I read about Mary, and I'm so humbled. Oh, that I would behave more like her and less like me. Oh, that I might be content to ride on a donkey when I am 9 months pregnant. And then he hasn't made a reservation. Are you kidding me? There's no reservation? And I'm going to sleep where? So he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who fortunately did not divorce him, who is now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no reservation. Because there was no lodging available. God could have put a Hilton. You know what I'm saying? If God had wanted them to have some lodging, he could have gone, Super 8. Okay, Hilton. Super 8, that's pretty desperate. That's as bad as the stable. Oh, sorry, Super 8. Nobody sue me, please. He could have gone, you know what I'm saying? If God had wanted them to stay in a fancy hotel, he could have gone, hotel, right? That's not what he did because he was fulfilling the prophecy in the Old Testament that said where this child would be born. Right? That's why. And that night, timing, there were shepherds who were the lowest of the low. They just tend sheep, staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, you know, the shepherds got up that morning and they didn't know it was going to be a different day from all the days that they've had in the previous month. They didn't know. But suddenly, and I think of the suddenly days. And I want you right now on the end of this year, and before we step into the new year, to remember the suddenly days in your life. The days that you thought were ordinary days. And I've been thinking about them all week, and I thought about when I was 9, you've heard the story when my mom registered me in brownies, and I was the worst brownie ever, but it was held in the Anglican church in my neighborhood. I hated brownies. Sorry, Brownell. I didn't do crafts, and I wasn't very good at anything they did, and they wanted me to learn how to set a table properly, and it just, who cared? And so, but I used to sneak away from brownies, and I would sneak upstairs, and I would peek through the crack in the doors of the Anglican church, and I felt the holiness. I felt it. And I wanted to be in that place. My family didn't go to church. I wanted to be in that place. And suddenly, God woke me up one morning. And I knew that I was supposed to go to that place. And I got up and I put on my fancy socks. And I put on my dress. And I put on my patent shoes. Remember patent shoes? And how shiny they were. And I looked magnificent. Because I was going to a very special place. And I tapped on my parents' door, and they were still sleeping. And I opened the door, and I remember their heads kind of like, now what is she doing? Grief. And they actually said, what are you doing now? And I said, I'm going to church. Oh, wow. Okay. And I went to church. I went to the Anglican church when I was 9 by myself because suddenly God had spoken to me and I knew where I was supposed to be. I knew that I was supposed to be there with those velvet curtains and all those candles. And I sat in that church and I didn't have a sniff what was going on. And they're very holy there. And they had kneeling benches that pulled down from the, and they knelt and then I knelt and they stood up and I stood up and they, everything they did I was doing and it was so wonderful. Suddenly God called me. Me, 9. Who cares about me, 9? I didn't even have a tithe or offering. I might have had a quarter. I didn't know I was supposed to bring money to church. Nobody told me. And then one day the choir sang. You've heard this story. The choir came. They had blue velvet choir, the children's choir. They filed in, and they went up to the front, and there was candles, and they were singing in these blue velvet gowns, and it was, I just knew I was supposed to be one of them. And so I went, I found the choir director, her name was Mrs. Chalice, and I said, I want to be in the choir. And she said, okay, you can come to choir practice on Wednesday at my house at 6 o'clock. Fortunately, she was in the neighborhood, and I went to choir practice, and all these kids, and they didn't look so holy anymore. They just looked like kids. And then I had to stand up, and I had to sing. I had to sing in front of all of them, and I thought, oh, dear, what have I done? But I kept singing, and I kept going, and I kept coming at it because I couldn't wait to have that blue velvet gown on, and I was going to sing, and I was going to look so holy, and God was going to love me. And then the day came. And we were going to sing the following Sunday, and I went in the morning, and I went to get my gown, and I was standing in line with the kids, and she was passing out the gowns, and she came to me, and she told me that there would be no gown for me. And I was so surprised. And she said, who are your parents? And I said, oh, my parents don't come to church. And she said, oh, well, you're not really in the choir. So I left the Anglican church. Mary Dunn's husband, I guess he heard that Mary told him about my story about a rejection by the Anglican church, and the painting in my office is of Jesus holding me in my blue choir gown. God is good. I tried out the United Church after that, went much better. It was a longer walk. It was down at Parkdale. Down the hill. It was a longer walk, and I lasted there for a while, and they were very kind, and Mrs. Pascoe gave me a picture of Jesus, and it is what Jesus looks like, I'm sure. So I have that in my office, too. It's because that's what Jesus looked like. Suddenly, God intersects our lives. And we We need to remember when God has changed our life and the direction of our life, when he showed up unexpectedly. I really want you to think about it. Maybe jot down, this is when he showed up. This is when it changed. This is what happened. Because you need to, in the Old Testament, what they did, when God showed up, they took a bunch of stones and they built a pillar or an altar. And as they walked along the desert, they could look back and there was the pillar and they would remember, that's where God showed up. Even if it was in the middle of the river, this is where God showed up. I'm going to build this pillar of stones so that I always remember. I want you always to remember when he showed up. Sometimes in your darkest hours, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, among these big bunch of nobodies. He didn't go to City Hall. He didn't go to the royal priesthood. He came to the least of the least. And surely here, I was a 9-year-old kid when he showed up in my life. I'm right at the, who cared about me? I'll tell you who cared about me. Jesus cared about me. And he called me. He called me. There isn't a child on this planet that he doesn't care about. There's not one of you that he doesn't care about. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them in the radiance of the Lord. Can you imagine? You're just sitting on a hillside in the dark and you're just minding your own business. And all of a sudden, the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, yes. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. It's easy for you to say you're an angel. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I got news for you guys that is going to change this world. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, and he'll be lying in a manger, because there wasn't a whole lot of babies that were going to be found lying in mangers. There was going to be one, and he is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined, can you get your head around this, by a vast host of others. There was a bunch of angels. There was a flock. There was a bevy. There was a lot of angels. The armies of heaven, the army of heaven showed up in front of those shepherds, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. There's just this overwhelming presence of God to the least likely people, and their lives have been intersected by God. The God has showed up in their lives. What did they do to deserve it? Nothing. 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 When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone. These shepherds are now evangelists. These shepherds are now telling everybody. And it's what happens to us. When God shows up, we want to tell everybody what he did. Do you know what happened to me? Do you know what happened to me? He showed up. He showed up and he changed my life. And then you start to realize that I'm living life, but I'm really alive when he shows up. And then I live life, and then I'm really alive when he shows up. And sometimes it's really hard because he intersected my life with Lisa's birth, and that was really, really hard. But he showed up. He showed up. I think of the times when I think about Cornerstone, I like to say with Tara, I'm not a crier. I'm a crier. I'd like to say with Tara, I'm not a crier. I guarantee you I cry at least one time every year, and I cry at the baptisms. I can't, standing on that riverbank, and my legs are frozen from the waist down. I can't feel my body from the waist. And I am, so, everybody's so worried about, oh, are you okay? Okay, I am so okay. And I stand there on that riverbank, and some of you have gone, and there's like socks and toys and a towel and somebody, I don't know, deodorant left on the side of the hill, and I'm pouring tears, and I'm picking up all the stuff that people have left on the side of the bank, and I am thinking about you beloved people who have said, I want to be baptized in that river, and I want to declare that I love Jesus in front of the assembly of these saints, and they get baptized, and Pastor stands on the bank and bawls her head off like a little kid, unashamedly. Because God shows up in those waters. He shows up in those waters. And he takes a life that's broken and come apart, and one that is ready for him to do something magnificent with. And they die to themselves, and they're raised up to him in new life. And that is worth crying over. Suddenly, these shepherds are out, and they're running around, and they're telling everybody, maybe people who wouldn't even have spoken to them before, they're telling what has happened to them and what the angel has said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Ah, but Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks. They went, and they were just shepherds again. And then they were living. And then when God shows up, they're alive. If we really understood that our life is in those alive times. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And I want us to really realize, recognize, remember those times when God showed up. I went to Disneyland and met Ray, and Rob pushed me around the park for 6 days. He's got really big guns now. And I came home on Friday, and Gilly was really good. He missed me. That was awesome. I could tell he really missed me. And then on Saturday, I could see he wasn't quite as good as he had been on Friday night. And then Sunday, I was kind of getting worried. And by Monday, I phoned palliative care, and I said, I don't know what's going on. Something's not right. Something's not right. So palliative care came out, and they said, I don't want to go to the hospital. And they said, well, we can give you comfort care here, or we can take you to the hospice. And then it was really quiet for a while, and I said, so? And he said, I'm thinking. I can be so annoying. I'm thinking. So he said, okay, we'll go to the hospital. Nobody likes to go to the hospital. So the ambulance came and took Gilly to the hospital, and we were there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Everything, it didn't look good on Sunday. All of his vitals were so bad, and the nurse was very concerned. And suddenly, Suddenly the nurse came back in for the second check. She said, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. I was like, what? Because I had a bed in there. I was like, I slept there. I didn't leave there. I did not leave there. I stayed by his side. I slept on the stretcher. I kept my eye on that guy 24/7. She's something happening. His blood pressure is normal. I'm going to take him off of oxygen and see what he does. She said, I don't know what's happening. And I said, I don't know what's happening either. And then I realized it was Sunday. And I said, it's Sunday. My church is praying. My church is praying. It's Sunday. Praise the Lord. And suddenly, he started to improve. Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday, he came home. He showed up. And you know, palliative care, they were following him on his AHS site. And they said, when they came out on Tuesday, when he got home, they said, we didn't think he was going to come through this. And suddenly. So, my life scripture, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I want to tell you what happens is sometimes I'm not seeking him first. I'm looking at the sickness. I'm looking at the disease. I'm looking at the problem. I forget to look at the Savior. My eyes stop, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know that. That's my scripture. And my eyes drop down to the problem, to the things that are wrong, to the things that I don't have, to the things that make me afraid, to the losses that I've had. And God says, seek me first. Get your eyes off of the problem and get your eyes back on me. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things. He's going to look after all these things, right? Could I just have you stand with me, church? Let's visit between now and the new year. Let's recall the pillars, the times when he showed up. You might be surprised. You might have forgotten some of them. Maybe God will bring them to mind. You can even say, Lord Jesus, show me the things that I've forgotten that you have done in my life. God, I really want to live with my eyes on you.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.